Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to show today, we're going to be discussing timeless rules about money and building wealth, holding up Honeybee. Jake and I wrote this book back in 2019. And little did we know that this book would transform our lives and countless lives of the Jake and Gino community. This book is all about creating multiple streams of revenue. If you want to copy this book, email me, gino@jakeandgino.com. I'll send you a PDF copy. But this is one of the rules that we're going to mention first. This is no sequential order, but this is something that really, when I was thinking about it, man, you want to really create wealth. The first thing you need to ask yourself is your money working hard for you, or are you working hard for your money? Back when I started with Jake, I was really working hard for my money. My money wasn't working hard for me. And I had one stream of revenue. Literally, I had two streams of revenue. I had my restaurant, and I had that little fourplex that was chugging along, doing pretty good, but that's it. If something happened to the restaurant income, I was basically done. So for me, the important thing is, as you start growing and as you start wanting increasing your wealth, start thinking about multiple streams of revenue. And that's what I loved about multifamily, because I understood, wow, I've got the threeplex, I've got my restaurant, let me create a quote unquote, what people call a side hustle. Let me go out and buy another property. Now, I didn't want to fix and flip. I didn't want to buy a single family home and hold on to it. To me, I already had the job. So that's why Jake and I started pursuing multifamily income and thinking about every single property that we bought was a different stream of revenue. It was really cool. You're buying a multifamily. Our first deal was 25 units. All of a sudden, we got that stream of revenue. And then for us, we created a property management company from that. So now we've got another stream of revenue. And then, oh, guess what? We've got the Jake and Gino education. That's another stream of revenue. And then guess what? We've got a syndication company where we're raising capital, another stream of revenue. Now, you can do this in any business, but for me, what's really important is make those streams complementary. Everything that we had going on when we did the multifamily was really congruent, really symbiotic with that relationship to that asset. So the first thing you need to do as you're thinking about creating wealth and perpetuating your wealth, start thinking about creating multiple streams of revenue from wherever you are, whatever business you have. The second thing, this is really difficult early on, especially for a lot of people. And when they have that, they have what we call a dopamine hit, is try to avoid those unnecessary expenses. And what I'm talking about is nowadays we're getting bombarded constantly by so many different messages. When I was growing up, pretty simple. We didn't have cell phones. We had one or two cars. Our houses were smaller. There wasn't that impulse, that desire that there is nowadays to be able to buy. There's so many different ways to buy. You go on Amazon, one click and bam, done. If you can't avoid those unnecessary expenses and save some of your income, it's going to be very, very difficult to create wealth. Now, there's a law called Parkinson's Law. As you start to earn more money and your income increases, so do your expenses. Just be aware of that. Just see what's going on. If you're okay with making 100 grand a year and all of a sudden you're at 150,000, you should be able to save a large percentage of that. Most of us, we're not, because we don't even understand. We don't have the awareness around what's going on with our spending habits. If you can't save money, then you will be very difficult to create wealth. I know many people out there who are earning seven figures a year and they're living paycheck to paycheck. It's not how much money you earn. It's how much money you keep and you're able to save. And what I mean by saving is when you're creating wealth, you're not just saving money for an event. What you're truly trying to do is you're trying to save that money, put it away, have some in reserves. We want some in reserves. But the majority of that savings is to go out to buy assets that will help you pay for those events. That's what's very, very important, because as you continue to do that, you're accumulating more assets. Assets that are going to increase in value over the years. They're going to give you tax benefits and they're going to give you cash flow. Also, in this part, I challenge you, if you're struggling with money, I'm not a huge fan of Dave Ramsey. I like a lot of stuff that he discusses, but one of the things that I really like about what he talks about is create a budget. But don't think of it as a budget. Think of it as a spending plan. A budget may seem restrictive to you. Just understand where your spending goes. And what I did that early on, I understood and I realized that so much of my financial plan had so many leaks and so many holes. They estimate that around 17 to 20% of that money gets lost without a budget or spending plan. Once you create that, you're going to find money that's going to places that you don't want it to go to. That's the power of the plan. It's you're able to allocate those resources. Do you need all those subscriptions, all those charges? You may not, but at least you know where your money's going to. I challenge you to create a spending plan. Now, the third one, really important, steer clear of bad debt. The thing that Ramsey says, hey, you know, you got to cut up all your credit cards. You got to live with no mortgage. I tend to disagree with that. For me, early on, I needed to have a mortgage on my home. I actually leveraged it, took the home equity out of my home and went and bought an asset. Most financial planners, most people that are investors, they would think that's really risky, but I was using debt to purchase an asset that was able to provide cash flow for me, where I was able to pay off the loan and have some of it left over. And then 18 months later, I was able to refinance that asset, pay off my home equity loan completely, and have the asset. And I still had my home. Understand the difference between personal debt and business debt. You want to lever your business to be able to pay for your personal. Now, I'm fortunate right now because I don't have a mortgage on my home anymore. Some of people would say that's just suicide. Why would you have that? You need to use that leverage. I don't need the money for my home to be able to make investments. So I've just chosen not to have a mortgage on my house. I've never had car payments, never thought about that. I've only had credit card debt where I pay it off monthly. Those are all, to me, bad forms of debt. They're personal. But I do have a lot of debt on the business side, on my apartments, on the real estate that I own, because they create cash flow, they create value, and they're able to be paid off from the cash flow. So understand the difference between bad debt versus good debt. Huge. You really need to understand that one. And the last one, which to me I think is really important, cultivate the money mindset. And what I mean by that is start to understand what your relationship with money is. Start to become aware. When you get stressed, what do you do when you get stressed? Do you go out and you start looking at things to buy? Well, that's part of Parkinson's law. I mean, you're actually going out and spending money as you make more money, but your default is I'm stressed, need to go look at something. Shopping makes me feel good. Understand that that's an awareness. It's really important to see yourself doing that and maybe stop that habit. Understand how to just stop that habit and try to, I guess, try to rewire your brain. There's a lot on neuroscience and neurochemistry. I would please implore you to go look that up and understand our awareness. Can't get into this video with how your subconscious mind works and how you have been programmed since you've been 5, 6, 7 years old about your money habits. But reading the book by Morgan Housel, The Psychology of Money, you'll at least understand your relationship with money. For myself, I was an immigrant son. My parents were both born in Italy. They came here. They had a scarcity mindset towards money, and I became a great saver. But becoming a great saver really held me back at times because I liked to see the money in the bank. I felt so weird or so uncomfortable when I needed to take that money out of the bank and put it into a deal. All of a sudden, I felt as if I had no security, no safety. That savings, my default, that savings was that security blanket for me. Understanding that relationship, saying, time out, I'm saving this to buy something else. Now I have an asset. When that asset makes money, I can replenish the savings account. Understand your mindset. First thing is a poor mindset has nothing to do with the amount of money you're making. You can make millions of dollars a year once again. The poor mindset's default is to spend money. The middle class's mindset, where I was, she was just to save for an event. I've got to save for college. I'm going to use a 529 plan. I've got to save for retirement. I'm going to use a 401k plan. I've got to save to go on vacation. I'm going to save for the money. At least it's part of the middle class tends to save. Not a bad thing, but it's such an inefficient thing. When that event is over, when your kids are gone from and they're graduated from college, that money's gone. There's no more money left in that account. But what the wealthy do, this is the wealthy mindset. They're responsible. They're always chasing opportunity. They're not chasing the money. Whereas the middle class, we're always chasing money. When I was working at my restaurant every week, how much money did I make? How much money did I make? How much money did I make? The wealthy mindset is how much value did I create? How many problems did I solve for people? How am I creating value for my customers? The more value that I create, the more opportunity that I chase, ultimately it will show up as part of money. Wealthy, they really focus on relationships. They're really trying to build their relationships with others, to create value for others. And those relationships would turn into opportunities. They're also focused on goals, and they're long-term, and they are patient. These are all things that you need to start thinking about. These are all characteristics that you need to start thinking about when you're thinking about those rules and how to build wealth long-term. If you can start focusing on that, long-termism, being patient, learning to become a better investor, understanding your relationship with money is where, to me, it all starts. To become a good saver is the first step, and then to understand those investment vehicles. You see, I haven't even touched on, oh, what investment vehicles are great. That's not even an issue right now to talk about creating wealth. If you don't have the first step in place, the psychology of the money, being able to save, you're never going to create wealth. Now that you've had that, go to jakeandgino.com. We'll teach you how to invest in real and multifamily. I mean, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. Our students have done over 70,000 units. They're constantly crushing it because part of that mindset has been cultivated. They've had enough. They know that being on that hamster wheel, on that W-2 job every week, it's the same results, same things over and over again. That's not what they're striving. They're looking to create what they call legacy wealth, generational wealth. And they know once they are able to save their money and put it into assets to let those assets grow, that's how they start creating that generational wealth and start becoming what we would like to say financially free and being able to become autonomous, have that autonomy in their lives. That's what we're ultimately trying to accomplish with the financial freedom and with building wealth. Now, what I want you to do, once again, email me gino@jakeandgino.com. I want to send you a copy of The Honeybee. And if you're on YouTube, go down, like video, subscribe to the channel, to the Jake and Gino channel. Every week we put out how-tos. We have the Jake and Gino show. We have the Julia and Gino show. We have the Movers and Shakers show as well. Subscribe to the channel. We're putting on content almost daily. Listen, I want to thank you for listening to this how-to. On the next how-to, can't wait to see you there. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.